Hello, this is Brother Denny. Welcome to Charity Ministries. Our desire is that your life would be blessed and changed by this message. This message is not copyrighted and is not to be bought or sold. You are welcome to make copies for your friends and neighbors. If you would like additional messages, please go to our website for a complete listing at www.charityministries.org. If you would like a catalog of other sermons, please call 1-800-227-7902 or write to Charity Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, PA, 17522. These messages are offered to all without charge by the free will offerings of God's people. A special thank you to all who support this ministry.
Amen. Not only covered, but blotted out, removed from us. What was that song we sang this morning? The church is one foundation. I thought I knew it, but I'm not finding it here. What's that number? 379. I just would like to call your attention to some beautiful words in this song, which seems to go well with the message this morning. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one or all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. I'll read the last verse. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with Thee. And I'll probably refer back to that later, but I'd like for us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And maybe we could call it a healthy body, a functioning body. The true body, I'm not sure. But I would like to look a little this morning at the body of Christ, and in particular, the local body of Christ. Before we read this scripture, let's kneel together for prayer. Father, we bend our knees to You, the only true and living God. We thank You this morning, Father, for our Bridegroom, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank You this morning that we can have a lively hope. We thank You this morning, Father, that You have not left us here alone, wandering around as sheep without a shepherd. But You've given us a true shepherd, one who has given his life for the sheep. How we praise you, Lord, that your love has laid hold on us. How we praise you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning. You have revealed to us the mystery which in ages past was hid. Here we are this morning as a body, one in Christ Jesus, with one hope, one faith, one God, and pressing for one holy place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this blessed opportunity. With ready feet, we love to appear this morning, here in your presence. Lord, make this time a precious time to us, Lord, as we open the Word. Anoint my lips. Make me a channel. And give us all ears to hear this morning, Lord, your precious Word, your Word of truth, your Word of life. Father, we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. A very key phrase here this morning. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What beautiful language we have here in Ephesians. I would like to draw our attention this morning to mainly verses 12 through verses 16. I would like us to see the importance of the body, of the local body. Praise God for the worldwide body, for those who are redeemed out of every tribe and tongue and nation. Praise God, we can send Brother Tanner over to the Gonja people here very shortly. And we pray that God would make him fruitful over there among the Gonjas. And that a people would be born there from his labors that will glorify God here upon the earth. And become a local body over there. But we want to take a look here this morning at what our part is here as part of the local body. And Brother Tanner, I was thinking as you were sharing here with us in our time of worship, we will miss you. You are a part of the body, and we will miss you. We will miss that part which you supplied. I will miss it. And I believe each one of us will miss it. And yet, we're happy to be able to send you. But I pray that through the word this morning that we'll see that each one of us have a part to play. Maybe you can't fill Tanner's spot up here in leading songs. Maybe you can rise up to that. Maybe you can't stand up and expound the Word of God like Brother Rick can to us on Sunday mornings. But maybe you can rise up to that. And maybe you can't all minister like my wife does, you sisters. But maybe you can rise up to that. And I guess the burden of my message is that you don't just sit there, that you don't just become a piece of the machinery, so to speak, with no purpose, with no drive, with no feelings. God wants each one of you to be a very meaningful part. He has given each one of you a gift. If you have been born again, it says here in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace, according to how He sees fit to measure it out. He has gone, but He has given you gifts. He has given each one of us gifts. Are you using your gift this morning? I know very well the feeling. I speak to you out of weakness. It's very easy for me to let someone else do it. It's very easy for me to let someone else take the responsibility. And I need to be reminded of this morning. I need to be quickened in my spirit this morning. I do speak to you out of weakness. I would much rather let Brother Rick come up here and preach this morning. Or any of you for that matter. And yet, I want to be used of God. I want to use the gifts that God has given me. I want to be faithful in that which is least. And if God wants me to come up here and share the Word of God, praise God, I get to preach the Word of God this morning. You pray for me that God would give me a voice and would give me an understanding of His Word. Well, in order for us to understand this beautiful picture here of the body that we have here in Ephesians chapter 4, and I guess in order for us to have a foundation in which to build this beautiful body that is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In order for us to grasp the possibilities that are there, the possibilities that are there for you to become a part of that body and to have an integral part of that which every joint supplieth, in order for you to be able to enter into that in the local body and understand your place and your abilities in Christ, I think it's important for us to just take a peek at the foundation that's laid here in the first three chapters. Notice that in verse 1 of chapter 4 here, he starts with therefore. He's referring back to what was said before. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg of you, greatly desire of you, that you walk worthy of this vocation, this calling, with this job that you are called to. I beg you, he says, to walk worthy of this vocation, this occupation, if you will, this job that you are called to by God. There's a beautiful foundation that's laid here in these first three chapters, and we can't go into it in any depth, but I just want to point you to it and encourage you to do a study of this amazing foundation that is laid here for us to build this beautiful body upon. You think that, well, just yesterday I was talking to a man who is very passionate about what he believes and very passionate about many things and was a professing Christian. And he said, I have fought more in the church than I have outside of the church. Well, I also have been told by an older sister when I first became a Christian that it's just, she sort of had the idea of, it's just not, it's not the way it should be, but you just sort of come to accept it and expect that church life is a life of arguing and fighting and not being able to get along with one another. But that didn't sit right in my heart. I knew because of what God did in my heart that it didn't have to be that way. And I would like to provoke you this morning to not settle for that. And that if you're having a struggle being a brother here in the church, or if you're having a struggle being a sister here in the church, that God has much more for you. He has an abundant life for you in the body. Not just you and God. You do need your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it does need to be sweet, but it doesn't stop there. You're stopping way short of what God has for you. And I want to convince you by the Word of God this morning that you are stopping way short of what God has for you. If you are not receiving, if you are not giving and receiving and being a part of the body this morning. Now, I'm preaching to us here this morning. You know, I know we could preach to a lot of people that are out there that are all alone, that may be by themselves, and for one reason or another, I'm not here preaching to them this morning. I'm preaching to us. I think it's very possible for you to be sitting here this morning and coming here every Sunday and not being a part of the body. Not being what it says here in the conclusion here that we read, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And note those words, all, every. The whole body, that which every joint supplieth. So, let's take a look at the foundation that was laid. Just take a peek at it. Paul starts here in Ephesians chapter 1, the first half of the chapter. He's praying a prayer, and it's a prayer of praise. He's lifting up a prayer of praise here in the beginning of the chapter. And it's very important to note what he praises God for. He's praising God that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, we're not just an afterthought to God. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We have been predestinated unto the adoption of children. God already adopted us into His family through Christ Jesus. We have redemption. There's redemption here he's praising God for. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So, we have been chosen. We have been predestinated. We have been redeemed. In verse 9, He's made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. I was thinking that it said there that it was hid in ages past. I guess it says that somewhere else. But He has made known to us the mystery of His will. And I'm not going to go into that now, but that would make a very interesting discussion, and I would love to hear some discussion on that a little later about the mystery of His will. But that's a beautiful mystery that's been made known. We have obtained an inheritance in verse 11. We have been sealed in verse 13. That's enough right there, brothers and sisters. We've been chosen, predestinated, redeemed. We've had God's revelation made known to us. We have obtained an inheritance in Him, and He has sealed us. He has given us of His Holy Spirit. What more do you need to become active in the body of Christ? What more do you need to become a minister of the gospel? Well, there is much more. The foundation didn't stop right there. Now he prays. He continues to pray here. And the prayer changes from a prayer of praise to a prayer for perception, that we may know. Herein lies an important part of us becoming a fruitful part in the body. The reason we need to go and tell the lost about Christ is because they don't know. They need to have a knowledge of who Jesus is. That's why we're sending Tanner over to the Gonja people, that they may know who is their Savior, that they may know that a Savior has come, that they may know they don't need to die in their sins. Well, here's Paul's prayer for us, that we may know, that we may perceive and understand. First of all, what is the hope of His calling? I'll just read the whole prayer here and then we'll touch on it a bit. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So we have a prayer that we may know what is the hope of His calling, that we may know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power. The question is, do you know what is the hope of His calling? It's given there. That we may know what is the hope of the riches, that we may know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Did you know that you are part of God's inheritance? And there's a beauty and a power just in understanding that point. God wants us to understand that. It's in His Word what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. That power that God had in raising up Christ from the dead, in giving Him a glorified body, against all the powers of the enemy, against all the powers of darkness, He gave Jesus, He raised Him from the dead, gave Him a glorified body, and it didn't stop there. A little while later, He raised Him up into the throne room, there to be with Him in heaven. Well, that same power is available to us, to those of us who know, who perceive and understand. Chapter 2. More of this foundation. It speaks of our condition before Christ. And over against that, what God has done for us, and what we are now in Christ, and who we are now in Christ. We have in verse 1, spiritual death. We have in verse 2, subjection to Satan. In verse 3, flesh-bound affections. And under condemnation. Not a pretty picture. But over against that, we have in verses 4 through 10, God quickening us. God making us alive. God giving us a new heart. Taking that old man, taking that stony heart out, and giving us a new heart. Quickening us, making us alive again. To quicken means to revive. It means to bring back to life that life that disappeared when Adam sinned can now be revived through the amazing grace of God. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He has raised us. In verse 6, He raised us up and He's made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know. Are you building upon that solid foundation this morning? Verse 11 and 12. Speaking of the first four verses, the death, the bondage to sin, being under Satan's rule, he says, at that time ye were without Christ. But in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you have the at that time, but now. You see the difference? And verse 19. Now therefore. You see, at that time ye were without Christ, but now you are made nigh through the blood of Christ. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens in the household of God. And yes, I know much more could be said, and whole messages can be preached from each one of those. But I'd like to provoke you to read and study this in light of the message this morning that we have in chapter 4. And then the foundation gets even stronger in chapter 3. We have and I guess that's where we have the revealing of the divine mystery that it says here, unto me who am less, in verse 8, than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but I've had some very interesting studying on that, and it's a beautiful revelation that God has revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And I believe we are speaking of it here in our message this morning. And then we have a receiving of the divine fullness in verses 13 through 21. And Paul's prayer there is, I guess, in my thinking, that he's going deeper, he's going higher, and he's taking us to even greater depths than in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And he is preparing us for the practical part of the Christian life, which the church, the local body, is part of here and starts out with in chapter 4. It's a lofty prayer that is being prayed. And you may be tempted to throw up your hands. And God knows that temptation is there before you. And God knows that you'll face many temptations. Therefore, we have verse 20. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above. There's not enough adjectives to describe exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And now we know what power worketh in us. It's the same power that God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Well, brothers and sisters. There's no need for us to be discouraged this morning. It's okay to lift up a high standard because He is able, the Lord Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. One of my neighbors told me this week that speaking in the natural sense, it's in what we will. He said, my dad taught me it's on whether I will to do it or not. And you know, in the Christian life, yes, there is the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and an empowering of the Holy Spirit, but there's also an engaging of our will. Do you will to do the will of God this morning? Do you will to know what is this power that was wrought in Christ when God raised Him from the dead? Do you will to have a love, a compassion beating in your breast for your brothers and sisters? Do you will it this morning? Do you will to know all that God has prepared for us in chapters 1 through 3 here? The beautiful foundation that He has laid for us in Christ. And if you will get a hold of and grasp and understand the foundation that is laid for you, then you can build and you can become an effective part, that which every joint supplieth. You can be a healthy limb in this body. You can be a healthy part of the body. I therefore beg you, beseech you, that you walk worthy. Why does He say that you walk worthy? Because there is the temptation for each one of us to, instead of building a beautiful building on this foundation, that we settle for just a little cottage. You know, maybe in the natural it's okay for you to settle for a little cottage, but it's not okay in the spiritual, brothers and sisters. God wants you to build a palace. God has prepared a beautiful foundation for you to build upon. He has given you all the resources to build. And it's not possible for you to be the whole body yourself. You are a part of the body. You are only a part. And you are not going to experience life as God has provided it for you in Christ Jesus unless you are part of the body. Unless you are an active part. Unless you are a giving part. Unless you are using your gifts. There's no other way to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith you are called. You are called to blend your hearts, brothers and sisters. You are called to live that sacrificial, dying to self, forgiving one another, loving one another, blessing one another, forbearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with one another. And how many more are there? 17 of them, Brother Rick? I think, are the one another's? 37? 37, Brother Rick says, there are of the one another's in the Bible. And don't be discouraged by that. There's been a beautiful foundation laid for you. You can rise up and build. And your house will stand if it's on this beautiful foundation of Christ Jesus. He has given each one of us gifts. Well, first of all, let's just point out that it is possible for this body to be fitly joined together because there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there again is part of the foundation from which we build upon. There is a unity in Christ, and there needs to be an endeavoring here, as it says in verse 3. There needs to be a fighting spirit within each one of us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That should be a passion in each one of our hearts. We should be passionately desiring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we have Christ ascending up on high, but in doing so, He gave gifts unto men. He left us here to do the job, to finish the job. He left us here to become His ambassador. He left us here to be His image. And how do we do that? Jesus said, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By how? How do we know? How does the world know that we are Jesus' disciples? If we love one another. If we blend our hearts with one another. And He gave some apostles. Now we're speaking of these different gifts. And some prophets, and some pastors, and teachers. I like the way that one song says here. Says in this song, "Awake, awake, O earth, lift up thy gates with praise, and robes of joy put on. The Lord of life and death hath risen to His throne. He hath gone up on high, and giveth gifts to men. He lives no more to die. He lives. He lives again. He has gone up on high, and giveth gifts to men." And here we have it in Ephesians chapter 4. He has gone up on high, and He has given gifts unto men, and He has not left anyone without giving you gifts. He has given you gifts. Everyone, it says, He's given these gifts. Some fulfill an apostle role, some a prophet, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, but it's all for one purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that's what that endeavoring in verse 3 is all about. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. And that knowledge is given to us in chapters 1 through 3. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, here's the crux of the whole matter, brothers and sisters, and the reason I believe it's impossible for you to be a Christian by yourself. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I deduct from that this is how God perfects us. This is how God disciples us. Yes, we do receive from God. And the Scripture even says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And yet, we need to balance that with what God has put in place, which is His body functioning together and meeting together and exhorting one another and caring for one another, praying for one another. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received of the goodness of God, of the grace of God, there remaineth no more, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, I don't claim to understand that in its fullest, but one thing, again, there that I take from that is that you are treading on dangerous ground if you have the idea that, yes, I'm a Christian, I was born again, and no, I don't go to church, or if I do, I don't really become a part, or I'm not really putting my heart into the body, becoming a part. Well, the danger of that is that you just may fall away, according to Hebrews chapter 10 there. And we have here in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. According to this verse, there are men out there lying in wait for your soul. They will devour you as they have opportunity. They will deceive you. And my understanding of this scripture, what I believe it's saying is that if you do not plug in, if you don't become a part of what is going on, and if you don't exercise your gift, you are going to be caught off guard one day. You are going to be swept away by some wind of some new doctrine that comes along. We need each other. It's just part of the humility that of God that needs to be a part of us. Did you see how the chapter started? This walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called is how? In humility, with all lowliness of mind. And that's where it has to start. If you are not humble, you can't blend your heart with a brother. You can't give the benefit of the doubt. You can't sit at someone else's feet. Become vulnerable to one another. Go minister. Go wash the saints' feet. Pride doesn't do that. But let me tell you that pride goes before a fall. And it's a must. I am so blessed in reading through the Martyr's Mirror right now. I never did that, and I'm trying to do that right now, read through the Martyr's Mirror. And the first thing that is so striking is how solid they are on the Word of God. They were not carried about with every wind of doctrine. If it was in the Word of God, if it was part of the Word of God, then they were willing to joyfully die for it. But no matter what tyranny came against them, if it was just man's idea, the one man asked, the one interrogator asked the one brother what he thought of the sacrament. And he said, "I think nothing of your burnt God." And they just had such a boldness. And, you know, these things infuriated these men. And they knew that it's going to cost them their life, to be honest, to be truthful. But they were so frank. And they loved the Word of God. One man, well, the reason I'm bringing this up is that had to do with the local body. They loved one another. They cared for one another. And one of the things that it seemed like one of the things that the Catholics were always trying to get out of them is who baptized them and who taught them. They were always trying to lay hands on the next person. But I'm not saying it never happened, but according to many of these reports, those people were faithful. They would not budge in giving information out to their interrogators, even though it cost them their life. They loved their brothers and sisters, and it cost them something. What is it costing you this morning to be a part of the body? What are you giving up of yourself to be a part of the body? What have you sacrificed lately to be a part of the body? Yeah, it's a dying to self. But it's the principle of the cross. Like Jesus said, the way up is down. The way to save your life is to lose it. There was a time when there was 20 of these brothers and sisters caught together and put in prison. And the day was coming for their execution. And it was just around the corner, a couple days away. And There was these two brothers that were not Christians, but they had a brother who was one of the ones in prison. And they got together. They decided that, you know, our brother has sacrificed so much. We saw his life. We know that he is being unjustly tried. We know that he is unjustly losing his life. And it's not right for us to sit here and do nothing about it. And they committed to each other that they were going to go at the expense of their life and try to rescue their brother and anyone else who may be part of his group there that were in the cell with him. And even though they knew that it would cost them their life, they risked their lives and went to the castle where these men were, where their brother was, and all 20 of these people. And they rigged up a rope with a fish hook on the end, flung it up to the window there, and broke in with a crowbar and rescued their brother out of there and a number of others. But the point that I see there is that we see that principle in action where Jesus said, by the love that you have one to another, the world will see that you are my disciples. And that even though these men were listening to teachers that were saying these men are heretics, they knew in their heart, by the life that they lived, by the love that they showed towards one another, that these men are for real. They just knew it. And so they risked their lives for it. Well, we know that a house has many different parts to it and many different people with different skills to build the house, especially today. You know, we have the surveyor, we have the excavator, we have the mason that lay up the foundation, we have the framer that comes in and frames the house, we have a roofer that does the roofing, that does the roof, we have a siding guy that does the siding, we have trim guys that trim the inside of the house, and even have deck builders to put the decks on the houses. And the deck builder is not very skilled to lay up the walls. And the trim guy doesn't do very well usually at doing the framing. And we wouldn't let the roofer build our decks. But at the end, when everyone has worked together, we have a beautiful house ready for someone to live in, to feel secure in. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to lift up to you all this morning, that you have a part to play. If this is going to be a healthy body, you must plug in. You can't just sit here. You can't just take shots from the sideline. You can't just fuss when a decision is made that didn't go your way. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you endeavoring? Are you endeavoring to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called? Are you endeavoring to, whatever you do, to make sure that it counts in the building? If you have criticism, are you sure that it's constructive? If you have a word to say to someone, are you sure that it's for his salvation? If you're coming to me to tell me about your brother or your sister here at church with this fault or that fault, do you have his best in mind? Or are you just trying to be destructive? Examine your heart. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. This isn't just a children's verse, brothers and sisters. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And don't wait for the brother to come and ask you to forgive him. Forgive him now. Yes, we are flesh and blood. And we do say things sometimes that we shouldn't say. We do offend sometimes. But purpose in your heart that when someone says something to you that grated you the wrong way, that was hard for you to accept, that offended you. Yeah, it's hard to say that sometimes, but that offended me. Purpose in your heart the next time someone offends you that you're going to release them. You're going to forgive them. And you're going to, if the feelings keep rising up, pray for them. Pray that God would give them grace to have victory over their tongue if they're saying things they shouldn't be saying, if they are too harsh with you, or if they're giving you the cold shoulder, or whatever it may be. We are real people. And we have real tests to take. But I exhort you, brothers and sisters, forgive one another. Don't hold someone captive in your heart. Let them go. Let them free so you can be free. There is freedom in Christ. The foundation that was laid is a strong foundation. It's one that not only saves you, but delivers you from bondage. Delivers you from that besetting sin, if you will be free. If you will to be free. What a beautiful picture we have here, brothers and sisters. No more children tossed to and fro. One day thinking this and the next day believing that. And going after the latest charismatic man in town. Whatever. There's lots of great orators in our day that can speak great swelling words and great lying wonders. But here's a good test to take. Give them about 5 years before you listen to their message. Give them 5 years. If they're for real, in 5 years you'll know it. Another test to take is, learn to come under the safety of your elders who do know you and you do know them much more than you know the radio preacher or whoever it may be that you're running after. Learn to pray for and subject yourself to your elders. Get underneath them. Don't just try and submit to them. Learn what is their heart. Like a faithful child does to his parent. He doesn't only want to obey them. He wants to please them. He wants to go the second mile. Go the second mile towards your elders. Pray for them this week. If you're having a struggle wondering why they did this or didn't do that, pray for them this week. And consider them. Consider the place that God has put them in. And consider the place that God has put you in under them. See, we want to be a body that's not tossed to and fro and that's not going to be deceived by some crafty man who comes in with a lot of nice sounding words. But instead, we want to be speaking the truth in love. We want to be growing up in Him, in Jesus, in all things. We don't want just some of our life to be right with God. We want everything, every issue that comes along to be right with God. We want to be lovers of the truth. And that is that's one of the keys. Lovers of the truth. Well, if it's not the Word of God, then I don't have time for it. And those brothers that I was speaking of earlier, that I was reading about in the Martyr's Mirror, they were lovers of the truth. They wrote letters, and unless they had one secretly, I don't think many of them had Bibles in their cells with them. Now, I guess I stand to be corrected in this, but I know they did sometimes, but I believe for the most part they didn't have Bibles in there with them. But when they wrote letters back to their people, it was just Scripture. And it just flowed in letter form. They had a verse here and a verse there and just a whole letter, almost a whole book sometimes, of just quoting Scripture. And I am amazed. I am challenged by their love of the truth, their love of the Word of God and how they hid it in their heart. It seemed they had the whole Bible memorized, some of them men. Some of those women, too. They spoke the truth in love. They grew up into Him in all things. And that's my challenge for us this morning. Let's be lovers of the truth and grow up into Him in all things. Let's not be swayed by every new thing that comes along. But if that's going to happen, we can't just sit back and wait for the preacher to do it. How is it? From whom the whole body fitly joined together. It's every joint supplying a part. And again, let me exhort you that if we are going to be a healthy body, it doesn't just depend on the preacher preaching the truth on Sunday morning. It has to do, and it starts with each one of us supplying a part.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This is a subject that I know is very near to the heart of God in the New Testament. It's part of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I say amen to the message. I think several times Brother Dean made the point, and I believe it's true, that it's basically almost impossible to be a Christian and not be part of a body. And that doesn't mean just that we come to church on Sunday, as he said, and sit down in a seat, but that we're actually engaged and connected to that body. And I don't know how to do all that for you, but I believe if you earnestly believe that and seek that and get active in the church, get active in other people's lives, God will make it very clear to you what you need to do to be connected to the body, so that you will feel and experience that you are the measure of every part, that you are a joint that supplieth. It's a beautiful picture the Word of God gives us there of a body. You know, how we can all just imagine, we don't, which part of your body do you want to cut off and throw away? You know, none of us want to do that, do we? So, which part of your body should on its own want to throw itself away? Well, none, right? And yet we see people who feel like they can either make it alone, or they can come to church and just come to church and then leave and not really try to be part of something. So I think that's a good challenge for us today. It's something, as he said, he wanted to provoke himself, but it's something that we need to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to provoke us where we're really at with the body of Christ and with the local church. And again, he didn't mention it, but don't be deceived by this modern teaching. Well, I'm just part of the universal church. You know, that's not the picture we see in the New Testament, is it? We see the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and the church at Thessalonica and Colossae. They weren't just sort of drifting around in some nebulous pie-in-the-sky church. They were part of a local body that met house to house. So don't be deceived by that modern thinking. Well, I'm just part of some universal church. But rather, as we're connected to the local body, that defines whether or not we're part of the church. Amen. Well, if you this morning, if you have something you'd like to share or add to the message, or if you have a testimony, if you raise your hand, we'd be glad to get a microphone to you. Take a few minutes here to share at the end of the message this morning. In the middle over there.
I'm just going to testify the message that Tommy shared to you this morning about the burning bush and Moses in the wilderness, where he felt inadequate to do the Lord's work. I believe I can testify to that. We sometimes feel inadequate to do what we should do. I can testify that we should do. I can testify that I should do more. Could do more. But I believe Moses was a so to speak Christ to those people. We all remember the story when the Lord was going to destroy him, and Moses pleaded for him, and the Lord didn't. So the Lord had to repent. The Lord repented of what he wanted to do with him. And all through down the history of the Old Testament is full of stories where people prayed for their enemies, and like King David prayed for Saul, and all those stories. And the story that Dean mentioned about the one that took the fish hook and the rope, and those people didn't love with word, or like it says here in John, like it says, little children, or in 1 John chapter 3. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I I just want to say that because we should do, let to do something, not only say we should, you know, so.
Amen. Okay.
Well, we're also very thankful for the message and the things that have been shared and the time that we've been able to spend here, and it's been encouraging and searching and deep many times, especially where we work there with everybody. I tell them it's like a little church almost every day. It brings out a lot of things, and it's a marvelous blessing. And what I'm seeing in the Word of God and Dean's encouragement, I'm very, very thankful for it. The Lord gave me, I believe, through His Word, some something that maybe relates. For some years now, for example, when Paul says that he that desireth to be an elder, he desireth a good thing. And sometimes we could believe, or I could believe, that was like being proud or wanting something like that. But the Bible gives us an opportunity. Then he says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. But we almost always focus at, as he is of Christ. But he says, be followers of me. And so I appreciate that. In Spanish it says, be imitators of me, in the version that I have. And I really like that, and I've taken it to heart that if God gives us a desire, he says he produces in us both to will and to do. And if God is not producing in us the will or to do, we should really pray earnestly, why, God, why am I not willing? Because Jesus says, whosoever will. And so it's beautiful that in many areas that gift, I believe, of an evangelist or of a pastor will begin to develop as we want also, because God is producing that want. I may be wrong and I want to be corrected. That's just understanding that the Lord has brought to my heart, and I really cherished it, and it has helped in a lot of ways, and we're just thankful for Him. And again, something that came to me, the fact of the Holy Spirit not being out there in a cloud or descending every now and then in a mist, but in the believers, and that we would hear a brother and believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking through him, and we take it seriously, because we sometimes, I don't know, these new teachings, like they were saying, could point to the fact that, oh well, the Holy Spirit directed me, or I don't know, and it comes from a breeze. I don't know what the belief is, but that we remember to see Christ in the brothers, to see Christ in each other's eyes, and remember that Holy Spirit is residing in them to help us, to correct us, to direct us. And thank the Lord.
Need a microphone over here on the sister's side down front.
I had struggled for quite some time with fear of man and witnessing, and I've renounced it recently to the Lord, and I just, I also confessed it to Brother Dean, and I just asked that you would help, just pray for me, that you would, Lord, would help me to be faithful in witnessing and having courage and boldness, and I also asked that you would just pray for me that I could be disciplined in my using my time wisely and redeeming the time. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, sister. Amen. All right. In the middle here.
Yes, I just want to say amen to the message. I am thankful for it. That is my heart. Although I think I would say I have much to learn in it yet. But I want to press forward. And as it says in Nehemiah, I'll just turn to that. Nehemiah 4:6. And it goes right with the thought, that which every joint supplieth, and compacting together. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. And that's where we want to be. We want to be plugged in and part of the church.
Amen.
Even though sometimes maybe we don't know exactly how to find our way and all that, but yet that's our hearts. So.
Arthur, over here on the sister's side.
Well, I want to make a confession before everybody. My parents have been teaching me a lot of stuff in the area of submitting. And I have a very hard time submitting. I only want to submit in the things that I think are right. But I want to change that mind, and I want to submit in everything, whether I think they're right or not. And also in the area that I struggle with is having input in my life. I really want to conquer and have input in my life because I know it's right, and that's the only way for me to be a Christian is to letting input in my life. I've confessed it to my family, but I also want to confess it in front of the whole church and let you know where I am. And I cover your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Any other confessions this morning or things you want to share? Yes, in the back on the sister's side.
I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one that was involved in our benefit sale yesterday. I know a lot of time and effort and was put into it, donations, and I just want to wish the Lord's richest blessings on each one who participated in any way. You know, we needed people to come by, and we needed people to make, and just everybody pitched in. Thank you, and God bless you. Brother Dean talked about one anothering each other, and I think it was a prime example of putting that into practical practice, one anothering one another. Thank you again.
Amen.